6. The six anguic races of Urantia. On an average evolutionary planet, the six evolutionary races of color appear one by one. The red man is the first to evolve, and for ages he roams the world before the succeeding colored races make their appearance. The simultaneous emergence of all six races on Urantia, and in one family, was most unusual. The appearance of the earlier Andonites on Urantia was also something new in Satania. On no other world in the local system has such a race of wool creatures evolved in advance of the evolutionary races of color. 1. The Red Man. These peoples were remarkable specimens of the human race, in many ways superior to Andon and Fonda. They were a most intelligent group and were the first of the Sangit children to develop a tribal civilization and government. They were always monogamous. Even their mixed descendants seldom practiced plural mating. In later times they had serious and prolonged trouble with their yellow brethren in Asia. They were aided by the early invention of the bow and arrow, but they had unfortunately inherited much of the tendency of their ancestors to fight among themselves. And this so weakened them that the yellow tribes were able to drive them off the Asiatic continent. About 85,000 years ago, the comparatively few remnants of the red race went en masse across to North America, and shortly thereafter the barren land isthmus sank, thus isolating them. No red man ever returned to Asia. But throughout Siberia, China, Central Asia, India, and Europe they left behind much of their stock blended with the other colored races. When the red man crossed over into America, he brought along much of the teachings and traditions of his early origin. His immediate ancestors had been in touch with the later activities of the world headquarters of the Planetary Prince. But in a short time after reaching the Americas, the red men began to lose sight of these teachings, and there occurred a great decline in intellectual and spiritual culture. Very soon these people again fell to fighting so fiercely among themselves that it appeared that these tribal wars would result in the speedy extinction of this remnant of the comparatively pure red race. Because of this great retrogression, the red men seemed doomed when, about 65,000 years ago, an Amenelontan appeared as their leader and spiritual deliverer. He brought temporary peace among the American red men and revived their worship of the Great Spirit. An Amenelontan lived to be 96 years of age and maintained his headquarters among the great redwood trees of California. Many of his later descendants have come down to modern times among the Blackfoot Indians. As time passed, the teachings of an Amenelontan became hazy traditions. Internecine wars were resumed, and never after the days of this great teacher did another leader succeed in bringing universal peace among them. Increasingly, the more intelligent strains perished in these tribal struggles, otherwise a great civilization would have been built upon the North American continent by these able and intelligent red men. After crossing over to America from China, the northern red man never again came in contact with other world influences, except the Eskimo, until he was later discovered by the white man. It was most unfortunate that the red man almost completely missed his opportunity of being upstepped by the admixture of the later Adamic stock. As it was, the red man could not rule the white man, and he would not willingly serve him. In such a circumstance, if the two races do not blend, one or the other is doomed. 2. The Orange Man. The outstanding characteristic of this race was their peculiar urge to build anything and everything, even to the piling up of vast mounds of stone just to see which tribe could build the largest mound. Though they were not a progressive people, they profited much from the schools of the prince and sent delegates there for instruction. The Orange race was the first to follow the coastline southward toward Africa as the Mediterranean Sea withdrew to the west. But they never secured a favorable footing in Africa and were wiped out of existence by the later arriving Green race. Before the end came, this people lost much cultural and spiritual ground. But there was a great revival of higher living as a result of the wise leadership of Porchunda, the mastermind of this unfortunate race, who ministered to them when their headquarters was at Armageddon some 300,000 years ago. The last great struggle between the Orange and the Green men occurred in the region of the Lower Nile Valley in Egypt. This long drawn-out battle was waged for almost 100 years, and at its close very few of the Orange race were left alive. The shattered remnants of these people were absorbed by the Green and by the later arriving Indigo men. But as a race, the Orange man ceased to exist about 100,000 years ago. 3. The Yellow Man. The primitive Yellow tribes were the first to abandon the chase, establish settled communities, and develop a home life based on agriculture. Intellectually, they were somewhat inferior to the red man, but socially and collectively they proved themselves superior to all of the Sangic peoples in the matter of fostering racial civilization. Because they developed a fraternal spirit, the various tribes learning to live together in relative peace, they were able to drive the red race before them as they gradually expanded into Asia. They traveled far from the influences of the spiritual headquarters of the world and drifted into great darkness following the Kaligastya apostasy. But there occurred one brilliant age among this people when Singlangton, about 100,000 years ago, assumed the leadership of these tribes and proclaimed the worship of the one truth. The survival of comparatively large numbers of the yellow races knit their intertribal peacefulness. From the days of Singlangton to the times of modern China, the yellow race has been numbered among the more peaceful of the nations of Urantia. This race received a small but potent legacy of the later imported Adamic stock. 4. The Green Man. The Green race was one of the less able groups of primitive men, and they were greatly weakened by extensive migrations in different directions. Before their dispersion, these tribes experienced a great revival of culture under the leadership of Fantid, some 350,000 years ago. The Green race split into three major divisions. The northern tribes were subdued, enslaved, and absorbed by the yellow and blue races. The eastern group were amalgamated with the Indian peoples of those days, and remnants still persist among them. The southern nation entered Africa, where they destroyed their almost equally inferior orange cousins. In many ways, both groups were evenly matched in this struggle since each carried strains of the giant order, many of their leaders being 8 to 9 feet in height. These giant strains of the Green Man were mostly confined to this southern Egyptian nation. The remnants of the victorious Green Men were subsequently absorbed by the Indigo race, the last of the colored peoples to develop and emigrate from the original Sangic center of race dispersion. 5. The Blue Man. The Blue Men were a great people. They early invented the spear and subsequently worked out the rudiments of many of the arts of modern civilization. The Blue Man had the brain power of the Red Man associated with the soul and sentiment of the Yellow Man. The Adamic descendants preferred them to all of the later persisting colored races. The early blue men were responsive to the persuasions of the teachers of Prince Caligastia's staff and were thrown into great confusion by the subsequent perverted teachings of those traitorous leaders. Like other primitive races, they never fully recovered from the turmoil produced by the Caligastia betrayal, nor did they ever completely overcome their tendency to fight among themselves. About 500 years after Caligastia's downfall, a widespread revival of learning and religion of a primitive sort, but nonetheless real and beneficial, occurred. Orlandoff became a great teacher among the blue race and led many of the tribes back to the worship of the true God under the name of the Supreme Chief. This was the greatest advance of the blue man until those later times when this race was so greatly upstepped by the admixture of the Adamic stock. The European researches and explorations of the Old Stone Age have largely dealt with unearthing the tools, bones, and art craft of these ancient blue men, for they persisted in Europe until recent times. The so-called white races of Iran share the descendants of these blue men as they were first modified by slight mixture with yellow and red, and as they were later greatly upstepped by assimilating the greater portion of the violet race. 6. The Indigo Race. As the red men were the most advanced of all the Sangic peoples, so the black men were the least progressive. They were the last to migrate from their highland homes. They journeyed to Africa, taking possession of the continent, and have ever since remained there except when they have been forcibly taken away, from age to age, as slaves. Isolated in Africa, the Indigo peoples, like the red man, received little or none of the race elevation which would have been derived from the infusion of the Adamic stock. Alone in Africa, the Indigo race made little advancement until the days of Orvanin, when they experienced a great spiritual awakening. While they later almost entirely forgot the God of Gods proclaimed by Orvanin, they did not entirely lose the desire to worship the unknown. At least they maintained a form of worship up to a few thousand years ago. Notwithstanding their backwardness, these Indigo peoples have exactly the same standing before the celestial powers as any other earthly race. These were ages of intense struggles between the various races, but near the headquarters of the planetary prince the more enlightened and more recently taught groups lived together in comparative harmony. Though no great cultural conquest of the world races had been achieved up to the time of the serious disruption of this regime by the outbreak of the Lucifer Rebellion. From time to time all of these different peoples experienced cultural and spiritual revivals. Mansent was a great teacher of the post-planetary prince days. But mention is made only of those outstanding leaders and teachers who markedly influenced and inspired a whole race. With the passing of time, many lesser teachers arose in different regions, and in the aggregate they contributed much to the sum total of those saving influences which prevented the total collapse of cultural civilization. Especially during the long and dark ages between the Caligastia rebellion and the arrival of Adam. There are many good and sufficient reasons for the plan of evolving either three or six colored races on the worlds of space. Though Urantia mortals may not be in a position fully to appreciate all of these reasons, we would call attention to the following. 1. Variety is indispensable to opportunity for the wide functioning of natural selection, differential survival of superior strains. 2. Stronger and better races are to be had from the interbreeding of diverse peoples when these different races are carriers of superior inheritance factors. And the Urantia races would have benefited by such an early amalgamation provided such a conjoined people could have been subsequently effectively upstepped by a thoroughgoing admixture with the superior Adamic stock. The attempt to execute such an experiment on Urantia under present racial conditions would be highly disastrous. 3. Competition is healthfully stimulated by diversification of races. 4. Differences in status of the races and of groups within each race are essential to the development of human tolerance and altruism. 5. Homogeneity of the human race is not desirable until the peoples of an evolving world attain comparatively high levels of spiritual development.